Chapter 27 of Falling in Love While Working from Home by Mary Kay Tillman. May 29th, 2020, 3 p.m. Dan, flowers, candy, and apologies. Even with a virus still claiming lives every day, the world has emerged from the lockdown. Feeling better, I watched the TV news coverage of all the people protesting the death of a Minneapolis man at the hands of police officers. Not just in Minneapolis, either. People, black and white, young and little gray-haired old ladies, are joining marches in cities all over the country, and in Europe. Still on sick leave, I'm sorry I'm missing my chance to cover the protests in my own town that seem like they'll go on for weeks. People are angry. And cooped up in their houses, they've been able to watch the coverage more carefully than at just about any other time, maybe since September 11th, a day when the principal at my school called all the students into the auditorium to tell them a terrible thing had happened, and school was closing. I went home, watched endless loops of planes crashing into skyscrapers, and wondered where my daddy was. I decided to become a reporter that day. Thought, in fact, I'd run the 6 o'clock news I watched so avidly. Only later did I discover the appeal of newspapers' longer form of storytelling. Sitting in my usual spot on the couch, I leaned my elbows on my knees to listen to a protester list all of the black men and women who've died in the past few months. Rex wakes up from his late afternoon nap, pads over, and stares at me with those liquid brown eyes. I can't resist patting my dog's big furry head. Need a walk, boy? As if he can understand. I'm convinced my dog does understand a little English. Rex dances on his big paws and heads for the door. Carefully, I rise from the couch and turn off the TV, even though the headache and weakness that have plagued me for 2 weeks have completely disappeared. I've been afraid they'll come back. I can't help thinking of all the patients I saw all over at University Hospital, isolated, attached to machines, and I count myself as one of the lucky ones. I've gotten a clean bill of health, and 14 days later, I'm free to revisit the world. Finally! A sticky, pasty feeling in my mouth makes me stop at the front door. Just a second, Rex. I've got to run upstairs and scrub my teeth. I don't even want to think how many days it's been since I've taken care of my oral hygiene. One glance in the mirror and I wonder when I last took a shower. I like the beard, though. It's come in thick and glossy, blacker than I expected. It's rugged and outdoorsy, a much better image than the sick, weak, patient look I've been sporting for the past 2 weeks. After a thorough scrub with my toothbrush and a quick comb through my shaggy locks, I decide to change my shirt, too, and my socks. And oh hell, I throw everything in the hamper and jump in the shower. The hot water shocks my sensitive skin at first, but then I take a deep breath and enjoy the steam and the gentle massage of the shower. Toweled off, I find the cleanest jeans among the pile beside my bed and put them on with a long-sleeve t-shirt, clean socks, and my running shoes. I feel human again. And if I should happen to meet someone I know, he, or I hope she, won't run the other way. Rex has lain patiently by the door. He's been a good sport through all of this. I kind of wonder if he's worried about me. Monster hasn't. I glance around the living room and find him curled in a ball in a pool of sunlight. Despite all of Rex's dancing, the cat hasn't even twitched a muscle. He's a healthy-looking specimen now, filled out after weeks of digging through the garbage. He figured out how to give himself a bath, too, so he's downright cute, even if his name suits. Let's go, boy. We both need a good long walk. I attach Rex's collar and leash, grab my keys and phone from on top of the TV. The May air, warm and humid, hits me as I open the storm door. How I've missed this. I hold the door ajar as Rex bolts through it, followed by Monster, Rex tugs on the leash and pulls me down the 3 marble steps before I can get the door locked. The cat has dashed across the street and is now sitting so pretty on the curb. I feel like he's taunting me. Or maybe us. Rex can't get across the street fast enough. I glance around quickly for cars, but Rex, who's usually careful about such things, races on with only one thing in mind. Getting to Monster. Here, kitty, kitty. What a lame thing to call out for this tough creature. I ought to be saying, here, monster, monster. As soon as Rex pulls me across the street, the cat takes off. And without my wanting to, so do we. I swear under my breath as I try to stop my dog. Maybe the cat, now feeling better, wants to go home. After all, it seems to know where it's going. Monster, get over here! I call, hoping this time it will listen. At the busy, car-filled corner, my heart thuds to a stop. I don't want to witness the cat's tragic end. To my relief, he turns and heads toward the park instead of rushing between the wheels of sedans and SUVs. Come on, Rex. Like I have to prod him to hurry after Monster. We race around the corner where a woman wearing an old bay mask is picking up the little creature. It's Jessica. My heart gets a workout like nothing it's experienced before. It pounds out a tune before rising with joy when she looks up at me and smiles. Look what I found. This little kitten ran right into my arms. Smart cat. Exactly what I wish I could do. I stop about 10 feet away. I don't know if I should get any closer to the woman who isn't speaking to me. That's Monster. Your cat? And you call it Monster? Just a temporary name for a temporary visitor. I quickly explain the events of the past 2 weeks. Finding the little bag of bones, getting sick, wrecking my computer, which I am quick to point out was the work of that same little creature purring so contentedly in her arms. Like I said, smart cat. He sure looks happy. I smile at the cat, and then at Jessica. How nice to see you. I was coming over to see you. She lifts the package in her free hand. I've been baking sourdough bread. I thought you might like a loaf. It's not pretty, but it tastes good. I'm honestly touched. Not expecting to see her so soon, I hadn't even rehearsed my apology yet. That was nice of you. I pause, gathering my nerve. Jessica, I'm sorry for what happened. I got all caught up in the moment, talking to Rashima. I know, she blushes. It's a sign that enhances an already beautiful woman. I would never hurt you. She closes the distance between us. I know. She studies my face, and I freeze, though I long to touch her. I should have at least given you a chance to explain. I was so angry. I guess I'm overprotective when it comes to Lori. And speaking of Lori, where is she? My friend took her to the park and told me to come see you. Ah, what a good friend. I'll have to thank her sometime. The air between us is electric, so many things I want to say. But I don't, hesitant to make a move toward a colleague that might be inappropriate. Instead, I hang onto Rex's leash and gaze into Jessica's soulful eyes. In person, they're so blue, so big, and so focused on me. Not like a Zoom call at all. How are you? Nobody's heard from you in days. I had the virus. I quickly add, I'm fine now. I was on sick leave for the last 2 weeks. Claire knows. She didn't tell you? Jessica, by instinct, I hope, takes a step away. Yes, we all knew, but we thought we'd hear from you. Rashima said she's tried calling you. My computer died. And then my phone ran out of juice, and I was so out of it, I didn't think to recharge it. And now? I'm fine. Really. Got a clean bill of health from my teledoc. He didn't even want me to come into the office. She steps closer, close enough to hand me the bread. Then she touches my manly beard. It sticks out from behind my paper mask. With a look on her face, I can't read. Don't you like it? It makes you look like... She studies me for a moment and then takes the mask off. Her hand, to my delight, stays on my face. Like every other man during a pandemic. Why have you all grown beards? Because we can. I smile at her and she laughs. And the long hair. Because I haven't been to a barber since March. It's a good look. Jessica, I have to say it. I've gotten this far and she seems to be my friend again. Only now I don't want her to be my friend. I loop the leash and the bag of bread on my left arm and gently lay a hand on her free one. Do you think we could start again? I mean... She slides her hand up my arm and pulls me close until the only thing separating us is a little striped cat and her mask, which she removes. I bend toward her and she responds with a kiss, soft and tender, sweet and fragrant. After 2 weeks of my own house, I delight in her scents of baking, baby powder, and something flowery. Her perfume, I guess. She smells like the home I want to go to. Though it lasts only a moment, I think it's a kiss that is forever engraved into my soul. Jessica. Her name, such a pretty name, sounds like it should be the beginning of a song. Dan. Her eyes dance as she smiles. I think she's trying not to laugh at me. Finally, I come to my senses and realize my dog and my cat and the two of us are taking up valuable sidewalk space. It's time to move on, but she beats me to it. Do you think we could stop for coffee? There's a little cafe with outside tables. She points a block away. Yeah, I can see the little striped umbrellas. A date? Are you asking me on a date? If your dog and cat don't mind. Maybe we could take them home and I just live around the corner. Good idea. Rex looks up with a whine. Well, maybe Rex can come too. I take her hand as the four of us walk back to my place. At the door, I remember the disaster area the living room has become in the past few weeks, and I ask her to wait with Rex. Inside, I race to the kitchen to lock down the garbage can, put the bread inside a cabinet out of Monster's reach, and fill a bowl with tuna for the little guy. I pause for a moment, enjoying the thrill of knowing Jessica is waiting for me. She kissed me, and she's waiting for me. She's waiting for me! I rush out the door, lock it, and link my arm with Jessica's. She keeps hold of Rex's leash, and the dog leads us, a bounce in his step that matches my own. Our block-long stroll is quiet. I think we're both taking in the meaning of this moment. Are we a couple? Do we have a future? Even more than that, we are people spending time together. In this time of coronavirus lockdown, that has been a rarity. We've only spent virtual time together. And this is real. Hi, Mommy! Waving to us from a table under an umbrella. I recognize Lori, but not the woman with her. What are you doing here? Your daughter begged me to stop. She wanted to sit under an umbrella. Jessica gestures toward me and says, Hannah, this is Dan. Nice to meet you, Hannah. Hi, Dan. Lori leaps from her chair and hugs me, smearing the ice cream from her face on my nearly clean pants leg. In an instant, she has moved on to hug my dog, whose tail wags wildly at her attention. It feels weird to take a chair at a table, to sit among people I know, to sip coffee I didn't brew myself. I glance over at Jessica, allowing my senses to fill with her. The ring of her laugh, the huskiness of her voice, the sunlight bouncing off her silky hair. She catches me looking and puts her hand on mine, and a dream comes true.